Welcome to the Words of Life program. Today, we celebrate the miracle birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Without the blessing of His birth, we would have no hope of knowing the privilege of salvation that's found only in Him. Today, Brother David Johnson will present a sermon entitled, "The Virgin Will Be with Child," based upon the promise found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers sponsor our program in order to tell you about Jesus. We now praise Him in song.
Jesus.
Father, as we open our prayer, we celebrate the miracle birth of Jesus, knowing that he was born in humble surroundings for our blessing of salvation. Thank you for this holy expression of love. Please bless each of our listeners with understanding of your word and salvation found in Jesus. We also pray for others throughout the world who are upholding your name. Just as we believe that Jesus was born and lived perfectly among men, we also pray that we will be found ready for the promised return of Jesus when that happens at your appointed time. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
God himself is with us. Let us now adore him. And with awe appear before him. God is in his temple. All within keep silence. And before him bow with reverence. Him alone, God, we own. To our Lord and Savior, praises sing forever.
Brother David Johnson will now present The Virgin Will Be With Child.
It's good to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, The Virgin Will Be With Child. And our primary text is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Please listen to the Word of God. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Wonderful words from the Word of God. Perhaps you haven't thought about this, but named birthdays are recorded only twice in all of Scripture. First was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all of his officials, according to Genesis chapter 40 and verse 20. The second refers to on his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials. And this can be found in, for example, the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. And verse 21. Yet the most profound birth was that of the one and only unique Son of God, who also became man born of woman. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. This powerful prophecy was announced about 700 years B.C. before Christ by God's Hebrew prophet. This prophecy reached far into the future to the supernatural virgin birth of the coming Messiah. This one-of-a-kind virgin birth came to pass to Mary as revealed in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35 that says in part, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Well, how do we know this correctly refers to Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ? In the New Testament, compare Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. She will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Consider the magnitude of this. At the birth of Jesus, the Creator also took on the likeness of a human creature. That is, a person of the Godhead became one of us, flesh and blood, in His incarnation. Furthermore, the eternal, pre-existent Son of God took on His humanity, which had a beginning in time and space, born as an infant son. Yet as an adult also, consider the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and verse 58. "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Thereby, Jesus Christ affirmed His pre-existent divinity as God-man. Well, how is this possible? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Jesus Christ is not part God and partially man. He is the fullness of the deity and fully man simultaneously. That's not difficult for Almighty God. The pollster George Gallup polled Americans some time back that reveals that about 80% of Christians believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. However, only about 42% believe Jesus Christ is God, divine, deity. There is obviously a disconnect here. The one and only unique Son of God is fully God. Jesus Himself stated, "I am." Compare the conversation between God and Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is His name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites: "I am has sent me to you." God revealed to Moses that His name is I Am, which vividly describes God's self-existence and eternal being. It denotes, "I am the one who is and will be, the God of the fathers of the Israelites, who is God before time and space, and God throughout the ages." Essentially, equally and eternally, Jesus, the Son of God, is this same I Am. Someone may say, but it states in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7 in the New American Standard Bible, "but emptied Himself, made Himself nothing," according to the New International Version, "taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." All of which is certainly absolutely true. Jesus Christ did lay aside temporarily some of His godly privileges and prerogatives, but He never, ever emptied Himself of His godhood, which He has possessed from eternity past and will to eternity future, the great I Am. The Son's pre-existent godhood is amplified in the Hebrew letter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, which says in part, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word." The original Greek word for exact representation is a term, for example, for the etching in metal or the exact impression in clay. The meaning here is that the Son of God is the exact, perfect imprint of the essence of God. Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Some deny that God the Father and God the Son are equal, because the Son must obey the Father. Yes, God the Son always obeys God the Father. Without exception. That truth, however, is due to their having different roles. The Son of God is always subordinate to the Father in His obedience, yet that does not detract one iota from the Son's essence. Both the Father and the Son have the same equal essence in the Godhead. The Son being subordinate does not make Him inferior in any way. This can be illustrated even with human fathers and sons. Human sons should obey their fathers, except for sin. A human son is subordinate in his position or role as a son toward his father. But likewise, that role, subordination, does not make a son inferior in human essence to his father. Both father and son are equal in human worth. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are tri-equal in the Godhead. Jesus Christ affirmed this regarding His relationship to the Father Himself. Consider the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted Him. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I, too, am working." For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill Him. Not only was He breaking the Sabbath, but He was even calling God His own Father, making Himself equal with God. Have you ever thought about some of the privileges and prerogatives that the Son of God emptied Himself of? Consider some of the words that Jesus prayed to His Father in, for example, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and verse 5. "And now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory I had with You before the world began." Consider that Jesus left, emptied Himself of the absolutely perfect heavenly glory with the Father in heaven, to come to earth, to suffer, and die even on a cross for the sin of mankind. Consider also the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 36. "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." That day refers to the second coming of Christ. The Son temporarily emptied Himself of some of His prerogatives, such as in His omniscience, not knowing, while on earth, the time of His second coming. Jesus Christ emptied Himself by taking on a human body with physical weaknesses. He became hungry, thirsty. God became a servant. He agonized even to the death on a cruel cross. And why? For you and me and all of humankind. Countless ones have given their personal testimonies regarding Jesus Christ. For example, the Apostle John, in his Gospel, John chapter 1, verses 1 and verse 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14. "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Consider also the Apostle Paul in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Consider the Apostle Peter in his second epistle, chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Consider also some of the early so-called church fathers, such as Justin Martyr, who lived about or who wrote about the year of our Lord 161, quote, "Christ existed as God. He is Lord and God as being the Son of God," end quote. Also, another church father, Irenaeus, who in about the year of our Lord 178 wrote, quote, "Christ as God was adored by the prophets as the God of the living," end quote. Consider Titian, also of the 2nd century A.D., who was the bishop of Antioch. And he stated, quote, "We declare that God was born in human form," end quote. Finally, let's consider a contemporary person by the name of Larry King, the longtime talk show host, who was asked, quote, "If you could select any one person across all of history to interview, who would it be?" Larry King responded rather quickly, quote, "I'd like to interview Jesus Christ," end quote. "And what would you ask him?" he replied. "I would like to ask him if he was indeed virgin born. The answer to that question would define history for me." And so, dear listener, I now ask, do you believe by faith that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, was virgin born? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross for the sin of the world? Do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth was raised from the dead? That is, exalted to the right hand of God the Father, as he was vindicated, as he was exalted for his atoning sacrifice on the altar of the cross, which he completed in full, according to the will of the Father, according to the Godhead, in the counsels of the Godhead, before even the foundation of the world.
Thank you.
The celebration of Christmas is only meaningful by knowing Jesus. We pray that you have received this blessing and are found working and serving and following our Lord and Savior Jesus. If we can help you in your relationship with Jesus, please feel free to contact us. You may have a free CD of this program simply by asking for number 2051. That's 2051. We look forward to hearing from you, and may God bless you as you grow in Jesus. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing them all.